Praise the Lord. Let's just commit this time to the Lord. And Father, we ask for the Holy Spirit, you continue to fill our hearts with thanksgiving. 5 years of your goodness. 5 years, Lord, that you have helped this congregation to be more than just a service, but to be a family. We come with grateful hearts and we give thanks. And we ask that you may be with us as we gather around your word. That we may hear a special word from the Lord this evening. For we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I can move the pulpit, you know. So I'm going to go to the center, if that's all right with you. Praise the Lord. This is a big day. It is the 5th. Right. Let me just get my things in order. Right. And so it is the 5th year. Right, it's 5 years old, the 430 congregation. We thank God the way he has used, first of all, Reverend John Lin and Reverend Elvin, and I'm sure Reverend Freddie was very much with it as well. And then passed on better for a short moment to Reverend Elvin when Reverend John Lin was posted out. And for this last about 2 years, maybe, more than a year, Pastor Freddie has been heading this service. So 5 years of God's goodness. It's appropriate that we start off with a dance. You know something, I love creative arts. I love it not because, well, I enjoy creative arts for one thing, but as a Christian, I realize that, you know, anything that is beautiful, the form of creative art, it may form a beautiful painting, a beautiful poem, a beautiful song, lifts my heart and draw attention, my heart's attention, to the creator. You can say, right? The devil uses creative arts for his purpose, but we can commit our lives to God, and whatever gift you have, maybe cooking, writing, dancing, flagging, you saw just now, please, those who dance just now, continue to serve the Lord, because it's important that we serve the Lord in every way possible with every gift that he has given to us. So it's a wonderful, wonderful occasion. May we continue to look to the Lord. And this is a special weekend because tomorrow you'll be having your leader's retreat. That's wonderful. That to me is always such an important thing. And so it's a very important weekend. And I sense as I was praying that I prepared a message which I believe is a word from the Lord to you, those of us at the 4:30 service, especially to the leadership. And the title, this sermon, Pursuing the Heart of God. And that will be the theme of the cathedral actually for the next 2 years. And this congregation, the best congregation in the cathedral that meets on Saturday, gets to hear it first. And there are a few passages I can look at, but of course, this is a wonderful passage to look at from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. Now, I've been worshipping and serving for almost 30 years now, Anglican congregations of all shape and sizes, literally, right? In fact, as a layman, as a student, my first congregation of worship was barely 100. And that's the 11 a.m. congregation in St. John's Margaret's Church. And that congregation, of course, grew along with the rest of the parish. And today, of course, St. John's Margaret's Church is one of the dynamic and one of the larger parishes in our diocese. And those were the exciting years of growth and spiritual renewal. Next, upon my ordination as a deacon, I was posted to St. John's Cathedral, and I was assigned to pastor a small congregation at Jurong West. By small, I mean small. You talk about 40, 50, sometimes even less than that. And surprisingly, it was a bilingual congregation, English and Mandarin. I thought that was a very strange assignment because my Mandarin is severely limited such as to the first 10 numerals. Some cursory greetings, you know, that followed the AM or PM moment of the day, right? In fact, once I was preaching at an afternoon wedding, and it was translated to Mandarin. So I started by saying, "Chao An," and the interpreter translated, "Good morning." right? That's always good morning. Sorry. Wu'an, is it? Wu'an, right? So my Mandarin is really, really bad. Now, I could go a lot further in Cantonese. Not today, but sometimes I can, another occasion I will use it, and it's amazing because Cantonese has seven tones, three more than Mandarin, and therefore with a tone, you can really play around, and the humor is quite amazing in Cantonese. If you have listened to English humor in monotone, you think it's great, wait till you hear in Cantonese. It's vulgar and good, but of course, behind the pulpit, I have to be careful. Now, fortunately, that congregation did not have to suffer my feeble attempts for too long. And just as I taught my Mandarin lessons, I actually took Mandarin lessons as I was serving in that plant. Just as I taught Mandarin lessons, was working, bearing some fruit, because now I can count up to 20, you know. Then I suddenly posted back to St. John St. Margaret's Church to serve for another 7 years as a curate. And then it was another 14 years at St. James Church. Again, I saw the parish grew. It started with 400, and by the time I left, I think it was about 1,000. Until today, it's still growing. It's past 1,000 mark. And it is amazing. Of course, I began my posting here at Cathedral 2 years ago. So congregations of all types, shapes, and sizes. And you are of a certain size too, maybe 200 plus. But one thing I can observe is that the core principles underlying every congregation is the same. Whether it's 20, 200, or 2,000. The core principles that mark a strong congregation, that mark a happy congregation, that mark a congregation who have a sense of awareness of God's presence, or not, is the same. And a congregation of whatever size can sometimes feel very lost. Even large churches, by the way, can sometimes go through a period of spiritual dryness, a spiritual lostness. That can happen to congregation, large or small. Or a congregation can be happy. It can be small. It can be very happy. Filled with a sense of God's presence and God's purpose. And realize that the core values are the same. And there are many passages in the Bible that can remind us of these core values. And I can think of many. Perhaps one day we will can have a preaching series sometimes next year, and we explore various passages in Scripture that brings us back to the heart of what church should be. It's strange, but sometimes we can too easily forget what the center of the church is. But one such passage today in the book of Isaiah, right? So you have just heard it read before you. I wouldn't want to read it again. The next slide you have, all right, the scripture verses here before you. Why don't we read it together? Some of you may have committed these words to the memory. Let's read it together. One, two, go. Have you not heard? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And this prophet Isaiah has this vision of God's people who can rise above the world's challenges, whether on earth or up there in the sky. That's the whole world. That's how an ancient writer can see earth and sky. And on earth, he see the child of God running like a modern Marvel hero. Right, he's never tired. He keeps running, or like a Forrest Gump. Right, in the sky, he saw the child of God soaring effortlessly, like an eagle. Now, some of you may have seen. You hardly see here in Singapore, of course, but some of you have seen a eagle flying. So, quite amazing sight. In fact, once I was preaching a sermon on eagles flying from this verse many years ago. One of the students came up to me. He was very cheeky. He said, he heard me say, "You know, Pastor, do you know why when eagles fly in a thunderstorm, they fly this way? They go up and they go down when there's a thunderstorm." Then he illustrated, he said, "Because the eagle fly, broom, broom." Is that funny? I always tell this story to children and they find it very, very funny. All right? Or why do the eagle, when it's flying towards the sun, fly in circle? Right? This has no positive illustration of this sermon, but it's just a joke. Right? But the vision of us flying like eagles, not tired. So how can we go on as a church? Do something. I was telling Pastor Fred with the staff, I said, you know, there's no end goal in church work. I was telling them, you hit 300 mark, you keep going, right? You hit 1,000, then you go to the next 1,000. There's no end to church work. But how can we carry on without losing steam? How can we carry on with the same zeal, the same heartbeat? Like this words say, how can we keep doing God's work without feeling tired or burnt out or spiritually drained? And of course, the key, as you read this scripture, set of scripture verse, is found in one word, and that word is wait. Those who wait on the Lord. Now, the next slide. In Hebrew, the word wait means kava. I'm not sure there's a best way to pronounce it in Hebrew. Q-A-V-A-H. And this word is translated wait. And this word kava, every word, by the way, has either literal meaning or figurative meaning, or a meaning that's come to common use, right? For example, a literal meaning of date is dead, someone who died. Because they use dead in all sorts of ways, figuratively. So I may say I attended a church and the service was dead, or the sermon was dead, right? But I mean it in a different way. Now, the literal meaning of the word kava means to bind together like a cord. So it's very interesting. What has that to do with waiting upon the Lord? Bind together like a cord. So picture in your mind, not so much the tying of something with a cord, but picture in your mind the process of making a rope. So you have the illustration there. The process of making a rope by twisting or weaving thin threads together to form the rope. So the more strands that are twisted and woven together in the rope, the greater it is strength. In fact, the strength of the rope increases exponentially. Those in school that you study basic physics, you understand that, right? When you put two ropes together, you don't just double the strength. The strength of the rope grows exponentially. Likewise, if you triple it, three ropes, three cords together, it is even stronger. So where else in the Bible it is mentioned? Popularly used in wedding sermons, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. Somebody got married recently. Say Timothy. Oh, 1 year is too old. Yeah. Somebody got married, right? That's wonderful. Right. So so it says a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You heard that phrase, right? A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Which reminded me, there was this wedding and a sermon was preached. Or this scripture was read. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So the son, the groom was standing there next to his mother-in-law. So he whispered to his mother-in-law and said, "There you go. Not just one wife. Maybe two is better." Then the mother-in-law said, "You foolish son. The third cord is a reference to your mother-in-law." But of course, we know in the wedding, it's a reference to God. And a three-corded rope or string is very very strong. And of course, the idea is that you cannot go at it alone. The next slide. Now, of course, common use, everyday use of the first qual is to wait for something, to hope or to expect something to come. Now, you put these two together, it's not very difficult to understand, right? And here we have this picture, this message that if you're alone, sooner or later you will be exhausted. But you walk with God together with the Lord, as Paul was saying in Philippians, all things are possible through Christ who strengthened me. Alone you'll be exhausted, but with God, you can soar like an eagle and you can run and not be weary. It's very interesting when you think about the play of words here. To be active, you need to be passive. You need to be in a position like a servant waiting for his master, to be attentive to him, to look to him, to follow Christ, to be submitted to him, to listen to him, to remember him. Remember Jesus said, every time you do this in remembrance of me. I like to think that he wasn't referring to the weekly communion served in church, but he's referring to the meals that we share together. He's asking us to say grace, right? And that's saying grace is to be mindful of the Lord. In other words, it's another way of saying, because we eat all the time, true, right? The amazing thing about eating is that whatever you may be doing, in the course of how busy the day is, when it's time to eat, you have to eat. Now, that's the gift that God has given to us, right? So in those 2 or 3 moments per day, for Singaporeans, it could be 5, right? So you give thanks. Remember, Jesus said, remember me. Be attentive to my Lordship and to my presence. Be mindful of me. It is to say that Jesus, as we sing the song, will be the center of our lives. And waiting, brothers and sisters, is about both time and posture of trust. You will be passively waiting, but actively trusting. Is this trust that keeps you from doing something your own strength? It keeps you from forming quick conclusions. And it keeps you from being anxious. It helps you to hear and listen. You're constantly watching what the Father is doing. I think it was in Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Church, where he says, as a church, we need to surf the waves that God has created. Those of you who are serving, you understand. You watch for the right wave, and then you have a good surf, right? You surf the waves that he created. We don't try to create the wave. Sometimes church leaders, we try to create the wave. It is nearly impossible. But we watch what God is doing. We watch out for the waves and we serve them. And then ministry becomes a joy, becomes easy, becomes fruitful. Observing, submitting to God, not doing our own thing. Now, I'm not sure whether I've told this story in this congregation, but as you know, today in the cathedral, the Alpha course is making a huge impact. Right, we have just finished one Alpha course recently. It's great to see those who are responding to God. But there was a couple who attended Alpha course, attended the baptism course, attended the confirmation course, baptized, confirmed, and they ended the Alpha course. Amazing, right? Because God is doing something, so stirring something in the hearts. Of course, Alpha course here in Singapore today, you don't need to say very much to defend it because it is doing so amazingly well. But Alpha course, properly speaking, exploded in Singapore in the Anglican Church that was a part of this almost 20 years ago, 1998. Now, how long was that ago? Nearly 20 years, huh? Or is it 30 years? My maths is very bad. I'm not the Mandarin, my maths is so. But that's 1998. And up to that point, I still remember I was in charge of the cell group ministry in this church. And we were trying to grow. So I gave them a challenge. Pray for 5, invite 3, and bring 1 to Christ. Just for 1 year. Every cell member, is that doable? Everybody clap hands. Yeah, very doable. Pray for 5, it might three to church or to evangelistic rally, and one to Christ. But what we found after two or three years of struggling, the whole cell group, some whole cell groups cannot even bring one new person to Christ. Right. Then around about the same time, I run this thing called the Evangelistic Bible Study, where we sit around, talk about Jesus, why he died for us, so on and so forth. And that approach to evangelism was successful. Right? And so we brought a few came to the Lord, and by the end of the year, 20 over start coming to church. So I begin to share the cell groups. Maybe there's something in this Evangelistic Bible Study approach. We gather around and discuss, not just run big events, you know, but invite people to discuss the Bible, have a meal together, and then give them a chance to talk and ask questions. And so we start the training in earnest. We spent a lot of time writing one or two books, doing our own material. And while that was happening, then we heard from the grapevine that the Alpha Course is coming to town. And that is two Englishmen, Nicky Gumble and Sandy Miller. They're coming to St. Andrew's Cathedral. Then we didn't have this new sanctuary. It was an old sanctuary, right? To run the first Alpha Conference in Singapore. Then I thought, you know, what's the point of going? After all, English have taught us how to worship. Now they're going to teach you how to evangelize as well. Cannot be, you know. We are now we are Singaporeans, you know. We are independent. We are mature, you know. But then, thankfully, you know something? Sometimes, isn't it wonderful if you're not in charge? I wasn't in charge. I wasn't a vicar. My vicar overrode me. I said, no, we should go and find out. Maybe we can learn something. So 20 of us leaders went. So the 2 days conference, I found it to be very boring. Now, you know something? If your heart is not open to something, you won't get anything from it. You'll be critical, right? So I said that was very critical. You know, and the nave was so long. And so Nick Gumbel was quite tall, but his head was bobbing up and down. You know how it's like those days we have no TV at the nave. And so it was a very sleepy conference. I could see Nikki. I was seated at the back, of course. Skeptical as usual, right? You sit at the back, you don't sit at the front. You know, just sit at the back. In those days, no iPhone. I've got to check my iPhone all the time, but no iPhone. Just sit down, listen. You know, this English man is quite boring. He was a bit monotone. It wasn't very exciting. He said, bobbing up and down. And after two days of conference, he on the last session, he said, he made this call, and he said, how many of you would like to run the Alpha Course in your church? If you like, please stand. Of course, I didn't stand. You know, my vicar stood up. By the way, my vicar then is today the Bishop of Singapore. Anyway, he stood up. So I said, you look very bad. If he stand up, I don't stand. Because I'm the curate number two. I'm supposed to follow him. All the leaders watching me, right? So I just stand up. Okay. Right. And after that, we came back to the church. This was 1 or 2 weeks later. We called for a debrief. Those who went to the conference. I remember just seated around. There's a long table. They seated around. And I was chairing, because I was in charge, evangelism in the cell. And so the vicar then asked, do you think, what's the response? Do you think we should run Alpha in the church? So everyone said yes. I remember it was anti-clockwise. Yes. Then come to me, no. Because I said, you know, if you want, we are Singaporeans. We have developed, our church is big enough, then it was about 1,000 strong. We can do our own thing. You know, we want to eat something, you eat char kway teow. You don't go McDonald's. You know, you don't franchise something, right? You want something local. And so what we're developing is very good. So why should we copy from the British? Their days of glory days are over. You know? Right. So that was my reasoning. You know, guess what? Once again, I was totally outnumbered. Not only that, I'm not the vicar. No, if I'm a vicar, I can bang table and say, I'm the vicar. Boom. No, you know. So aren't you glad sometimes God, by His Holy Spirit, overrule you? And my vicar said, no, we should do it. So I said, oh, fine, let's do it. If we do it, let's do it quietly. It's a Cantonese kuai kuai si si. Because, you know, you must remember, for the last 5 years in the cell group ministry, we have tried all kinds of things. Good Friday, thank God it's Friday, all kinds, you know, FCPC in those days, all kinds of tricks and traits, you know, to get our cell group to evangelize. So now one more thing, Alpha. So our cell group leaders, our cell leaders are all very tired. So I said, let's just do it quietly. we ran it. We expected 300 people to come for the first Alpha and True dinner, and we were so surprised. 200 more came from nowhere, so there was 500. And so we have to ask our members, don't eat. Don't eat. Oh, juicy chicken drumstick, don't eat. for your members. And, you know, being so proud on that evening, I said, no, we don't want to show the video. As I say, char kway teow, right? You don't want McDonald's. So I will speak. Actually, come to think of it, that was pride, you know. That's really presumptuous, that's really pride. But thank God, God saw my foolishness, but decided to anoint me, and it was very effective that evening. But we've never seen that many non-Christians in a sanctuary. The anointing was only for that evening, only for that evening. In fact, when the course ran, the second course of our life, after a while, I began to hint, can we put Nicky Campbell on? And that was it, you know. Nicky Campbell came on, soon I realized the Lord could use him. But because the intro deal was so successful, there was no turning back. In fact, other churches heard about it. Oh, you mean can work in a typical Singapore church? Sure. Now, that was 1999. Today, it's all over Singapore, right? You see? But what I'm trying to say is that it was a wave that God was creating. But that wave, brothers and sisters, reaches the prisons. It's huge. The impact of Alpha in prisons. That wave reached some very key politicians and businessmen. I don't name all the names. They include ex-cabinet ministers, ex-presidents as well, have gone through the Alpha course. Unimaginable. Which program the church can conjure, come up with, can reach people like this. And the long list is long, how God is using Alpha course. But my point is this, we have to learn. And I, as a pastor, I have to learn to wait upon Him. I've learned to see what God is doing and realize it's not a Terry thing, it's be a God thing. If it had been a Terry thing, God wouldn't have stopped me. But the success would have been very, very limited and very, very local. But as a result of obedience, not very willing obedience, but partial obedience. The irony of it, I became the national director of Alpha. That's the irony of it. So it became a very great story. No embellishment. The story is just, it happened as it is. Everywhere I go, I always start with this story because I'm always appealing to people who are very skeptical about this thing that is a kind of franchise. But brothers and sisters, it is about doing the God thing. It is something the leaders can bring back even as you meet tomorrow. It is about observing what God is doing. It is about being pliable in our hearts, looking to Him. All right? When we do that, brothers and sisters, church work does not become a chore. Church work does not become burdensome. Just one more illustration, and I'll come to end this sermon. I share this because it's closer home to us, 11:30 service. As you know, 11:30 service has now regularly about 120 coming, full of young people. But 2 years ago, when I first became vicar, one of the challenge Bishop Kwan gave to me was the young people's ministry. I still remember hours, something up to 6 hours, talking to some youth leaders, and a sense of despair in my office, wondering what to do. I won't go to all the details, but didn't seem like we could do anything. Everywhere is full, all the services are full, the places are using up. The young people have no space, right? Most of our worship leaders were old, nothing wrong with that, they were older, but there are just no young worship leaders. There's no space for them to lead, right? And so I'm so glad, first of all, I didn't learning from after so many years of ministry learning, I cannot rush into something. You know, there are some youth pastors who offer from other churches. And someone offers, hey, there's a youth pastor from Wesley Methodist, can he come and serve? I say, wait. Easiest thing to import a youth pastor. But let's look at our field. And I tell you, the field wasn't very encouraging at that point. Right? But to cut a long story short, one day while I was in unrelated to youth ministry, I was in a city community, a management board meeting. And while I was there, suddenly, those moments when God speaks to you, right? Suddenly, the Lord said, if the youth work is so important, why are you not giving them prime time and prime space? It's a shock to me, you know. You mean Sunday morning, Lord? Yes, Sunday morning. Texting, you know, to all my staff. God, no, good morning slot. Don't have. Sunday school, blah, blah, all fill up. Okay, never mind. We try, you know. And so next few months, we went to Capitol. We went to Raffles City. Tried to look for a big hall. It's so expensive. You want to meet in Capitol? Minimum $5,000 for 2 hours. $5,000. That's how it costs. The aircon, the screen, everything. And then we ask around the same. Nothing less than $4,000 to $5,000 per session. And while that was happening, again, this sudden thought. What about cathedral? What about the prayer hall? So I asked Harley, who is meeting the prayer hall late Sunday morning? He said, some Sunday school class can move. Sunday school class can move. Move them to chapel. Move them to cafe, whatever. Move them to somewhere else. If it's a service, let's give it a priority, right? And of course, I can go a lot more detail. But as a result, instead of spending so much money renting, we spent some money, not a lot at all, actually, but refurbish the prayer hall. And we started 11:30 service, and it's almost a year ago now. The rest is history. But brothers, I want you to know that it is a case. Again, the testimony 11:30 service is about what the Lord wants to do. Our part is to follow. Our part is to listen. A posture of waiting, a posture of looking to Him, and a posture of loving. Now, this phrase is all the same. Wait on the Lord, loving the Lord, paying attention to the Lord, follow Jesus. A broken and contrite heart, the same. Without a broken, contrite heart, you cannot hear the Lord. A humble posture. Right, so I have a set of verses. The next slide. Falling asleep. Hello? Next slide. It's okay. For example, the message to the Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, the Revelations 2. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Very active church. But they missed the mark, the center of it. They abandoned the love. No longer motivated by love for God. Or Hebrews 12:1-2. Let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus. He founded the church. So if we do church work, you better look to Him, right? He's the founder. Unlike some other founders of Apple, they keep in and out, you know, get sacked, and then come back. But the founder of the church remains forever there, right? So we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And brothers and sisters, this is the heart of it. So as a church here in Cathedral, here, of course here in this service as well, we must keep Jesus at the center. Likewise, our own spiritual walk with God, right? If sometimes you have moved away from God, it's because of us. We allow perhaps the sins of the world, the suffering of life, the deceptive philosophy of secularism, pride, whatever it may be, or sometimes we simply neglect own walk with God. As a result, our hearts are no longer pursuing Him, no longer waiting upon Him, no longer loving Him, and no wonder we feel spiritually lost. You know Jeremiah 29:13. Next slide. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And our Anglican liturgy will say, remind ourselves that this verse of Deuteronomy and also mentioned in the Gospel, to love God with all our heart, soul, body, and mind. To seek God and to love Him. It's a posture. It is an orientation. You know, sometimes I met Christians who said, well, how can I love someone I cannot see? I wish sometimes God appear in front of me. Then I can love Him. And to them, I always say, you know, your spouse, your children, your parents, it's as real. You pinch them, it turns red, right? Because they are flesh and blood. You can see them every day, right? Give me all kinds of pleasures to love them. And yet, sometimes, you don't love them as much as you should. And sometimes the reverse happens. It is not about seeing. It is about orientation of the heart. To pursue the heart of God. That's my prayer for St. Andrew's Cathedral. That's what I would say the same if you are 50 strong church. Today, Cathedral is 3,000 strong and more. I would say the same. We need to keep God at the center. We need to pursue His heart. We need to hear Him. We need, as a church, to know His presence, and certainly the leadership when you meet, to be so conscious about the Lord's presence. This is a good service, so I'm not by no means criticizing anyway. I know you have wonderful leaders, but that's not always the case in the Anglican Church. And not may not be the case cathedral-wide. Sometimes egos get in the way. People are concerned about recognition, about position, but who gets the credit when something happens? That, brothers and sisters, is missing the mark. That happens when we no longer have Jesus at the center. That happens when we're no longer embraced by the Father. Instead, we seek to be embraced by someone else. But it's this, we need to return to what it means as a church to wait upon Him, both for our own spiritual walk with God and as a church. Hallelujah. Amen. Join me in a time of praying as we just rest a simple word of the Lord this morning, this evening, to wait upon God. You shall run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we yearn as a church for your glory and for your honor, not just for ourselves, but for this nation. We yearn, O God, for you to work in this day and age. We yearn, O God, for you to be Lord of our lives of our young people. We yearn, O God, to see Christians following you in their workplace, in the offices, in the classrooms, in the home, and here in the cathedral. In this service as well, Lord, we yearn to see your honor and your glory. And even as the leaders meet tomorrow, Lord, give them a sense of your presence, that you are watching over them, that you are working with them, that they are co-laborers with the Lord, they're not on their own, that they're fulfilling your will and your purpose in and through this service.